Hello, beautiful people.
Welcome back to Dirty Words.
It is I, Alex.
And it is I, Marissa.
And we are missing Iridian today,
but she's with us in spirit.
And we know that we have been kind of a hit and a miss with how we've been recording. Life gets really busy, and three people who are working full time trying to coordinate schedules.
Not the funnest. Well, also, if any of you have ever worked retail and worked during the holidays, it's like my stores and Iridian stores fourth quarter, so it's the end of the year as well for us. But also, I don't get my schedule more than about a week and a half in advance, so I never know when I'm working.
Yay! Hourly wages.
And moving forward, we do want to try to be really intentional, aiming for possibly once a week, trying to put something out either with one of us, two of us, three of us, a mix and match. Just because this is something that we really care about and we want to build the space in this community and we want to have this engagement. And so we have some ideas moving forward too to how to build a bigger community.
We're into it. We hope you're into it. And thanks for joining us again.
And speaking of being into stuff, what is your current obsession?
Obsession. So you all can't see this. Target, the fanciest of retail outlets. They have like a Lego joint collection. So right now I got a couple of things from that and I'm a little obsessed. I have like a bag and I got some coasters that are usable, but they have like sweatshirts and clothing and like wrapping paper and stuff like that. And then my other big, big obsession of the week is my friend, Becca. Her author name is a little bit different. She wrote a book called Storm Silver. It's by Storm Silver by Raven McGorry. And it, besides her being my friend and me like wanting to promote people that I care about and know, it's a fantasy book, which I'm already into fantasy, fun genre, but it has everything: adventure, the romance, the drama, the laughter, the tears. It also is keeping me captivated. Like, I don't know about any of you, it's really hard for me to focus on things. I think I'm in the middle of like five books right now. And this morning I woke up and guess what? I didn't play on my phone. I picked up her book and kept reading it. So we'll link that in our like episode description. It just is a really fun fantasy book if you want to try something new.
It's so hard to focus. I didn't even listen to anything she just said. So my current my current obsession is Selling Sunset. They just came out with a new season, but I am a season behind. And oh my gosh, the drama with Chrishell and her divorce and the way Christine and Davina, they're the mean ones, are talking about it. Why would you kick somebody when they're down? Like, how? Anyway, Selling Sunset is my drama intake. I am a fan of drama, just not when it's a part of my own life.
Also, it's like scripted drama, some of it.
I mean, right, maybe, probably. But I like to believe that it's reality.
So this episode's going to get a little wild. It might shock some of you when you saw the title.
You probably saw that the title is Pro-Life.
Pro-life.
We are a pro-life podcast.
Whoa, I know a lot of you are probably shocked. So what does that even mean though?
This means that we are anti-death penalty. We support social services.
We support access to healthcare and access to your own body.
Which in turn...
Oh, and we're against gun violence.
This in turn means we are pro-choice.
Yeah, got you. We got you. That was a good one.
I am so sorry if anyone saw the title or heard the first part of this and they were like,
you didn't
click
off. I hope you're listening still. But it's in true Dirty Words fashion. The like dictionary, I guess it is in the dictionary, definition of pro-life is opposing abortion and euthanasia. For anyone that doesn't know what euthanasia is, it's essentially like in the medical world, putting someone to sleep if they have like extreme medical problems. It's illegal in most places around the world. There is some countries, I think in Northern Europe, that allow it. But that's a whole other conversation.
And so even if we just start by looking at this specific definition, nothing about that definition is promoting life. Nothing about that is about making life better.
Your quality of life.
Making
your
things
access,
more accessible. Yeah. Supporting people in any capacity. So at the very base of this argument, it is flawed. And so we're talking about all of this because, as most of you may have seen, Roe v. Wade is back in the Supreme Court.
There was literally just a mass shooting in a high school like a day or two ago, depending on – or maybe a long time ago, depending on when you're listening to this. Also, Kyle Rittenhouse got acquitted for shooting people. Things like that. There's a lot happening that is very divisive, and this pro-life conversation – I don't think is brought up enough in those conversations, because like, if you're pro-life, why doesn't this stuff matter to you then?
And so this is in the Supreme Court right now because
Roe v. Wade.
Yeah. Well, Roe v. Wade's being discussed because wonderful Lynn Finch, the Attorney General of Mississippi, whose slogan right now is empower women, promote life. So is bringing the case of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization to the Supreme Court. I believe two other federal courts had rejected the case. Basically, Mississippi is trying to pass a law that says after 15 weeks, nobody can have an abortion. That includes rape and incest. The only way that someone could access an abortion after 15 weeks is if there was, I think, like severe medical complications. But even then, I'm guessing that would be next to nothing in the eyes of Mississippi. So I think it got rejected in a couple of federal courts, and then it made it up to the Supreme Court. And so Miss Fitch is saying empower women, promote life, and bringing it to the Supreme Court to say Roe v. Wade needs to be overturned and this needs to be a state decision.
Her big opening argument – okay, sorry, just going to pause real quick. If you hear like a weird like noise, our dog's drinking water in the background.
He's just a thirsty boy.
Like so many out there. But her big opening argument was that women are not reaching their full potential because of Roe v. Wade. That it just like dooming women's lives to be stressful and like think all these bad things about pregnancy, which is like, what? How is that your argument? You're an attorney general.
She goes on to discuss how she had three children and then got a divorce and was a single mother of three. And forgets to mention this argument that she had a nanny and she grew up with a rich family on a plantation. So she had support around her to raise these three children.
Let's just say like the type of – when we say on a plantation, like they were still in that mindset because someone in her family – was it her dad?
Her dad, I believe.
Like helped move the original KKK Grand Wizard's house or whatever it was to their plantation to restore it. What? I don't care if you're a history buff. Why are you moving that to your private property and supporting its restoration? What?
And the Confederate. So the Confederate general and the Grand Wizard. His original home. He moved to their plantation.
But we won't attack her character.
So she's forgetting to also mention that the United States is one of the only, I believe, I'm putting quotes around this, not westernized. What do we like to call it? Oh, this article is – and we're going to link all the articles. This article is listing it as a rich country. So the only, like, rich country in the world, or I guess you could say, like, Western, whatever, that doesn't have any kind of paid, like, national
– like a federal – like mandated. A
federally mandated paid parent leave in any capacity.
Yeah. Really interesting to see some of the arguments that she is making, though, and to defend her case. So she like makes comments about how she did it with hard work. And this is like a quote, I'm pretty sure, with hard work and a color-coded calendar that she could pull it off and the other woman could have it all too if we just got rid of Roe v. Wade. Because that's what everyone wants, is to be a single mother raising multiple children on her own and having no government benefits to support her, but just their rich parents' money. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. like a really – that's like, we can all do that, right?
Yeah. And they say in the past 3 decades, actually, the increase of paying for a child or childcare has increased by almost 50% in the last 3 decades. So even if we're looking at her funding herself or whatever she's claiming that she did, if we look at inflation and we also acknowledge that minimum wage hasn't changed in, what is it, like 3 decades now too?
It's like – I'm gonna Google this real quick so we have an accurate thing. Minimum wage – over the years. History of federal minimum wage. Okay. So it used to be 30 cents. We've gone a long way, everyone, since the 1930s. I'm scrolling. So it hasn't gone up from $7.25 since 2009, but it's been in that like $5 or $6 range since the 90s. So we're talking about almost 3 decades. Of minimum wage not increasing, but childcare increasing by at least 50% or more, depending on where you live.
And they're talking about like an average middle class family in a 2-parent household. It takes about $15,000 a year for a child. So someone's making minimum wage, or even if someone was making around like $50,000, which isn't even close to minimum wage, $15,000 a year, and that's probably on the lower side that they're estimating this stuff, right? Because taking care of a living thing. Like, I even Not that a child is a dog, but I have a dog, and every month I'm surprised at how much money I end up putting.
You don't know how much cat food costs, and then like my cat wouldn't go to the bathroom in the litter box, so I had to buy two new litter boxes. That's expensive. Now imagine if that was a child. But also, this is interesting though. This is another quote from her. We'll link this article as well. And in a TV interview, she said, "You have the option in life to really achieve your dreams and goals. And you can have those beautiful children as well. It's not like it's an ultimatum. People aren't getting abortions because they can't achieve their dreams. People are getting abortions because they don't want kids because they're pregnant from a traumatic experience because it just isn't the time in their life. And some people, yes, it's because it might interfere with it, like what's happening in their life and they weren't ready for a kid at that moment. Other people, it's medical issues. Like it's you or the fetus growing inside of you that literally I said to Alex before we started, I want these people that are so – quotes are on pro-life and like want to take over uteruses, try to raise something that is 5 or 6 weeks old from someone's uterus. And the only way you can do that when we want to condemn it is, I don't even know if it's possible, but you would need modern medicine and science. And a lot of these politicians are talking about how science is bringing back the dark ages and all these other things. The only way any of these, not even these embryos would survive and zygotes would survive would be with modern medicine if they weren't in a uterus. So I don't know how that argument's working out for you, but.
And so for anyone who is not super familiar, and I am – neither of us are legal experts. This is just off of information that we know and kind of doing our own research. Roe v. Wade was a 1973 Supreme Court case that it started in Texas, and it was approved by a couple, I believe, federal courts again, and then the state wanted to appeal it, and so they brought it to the Supreme Court. And they ruled that a woman has – or a person with a uterus has a right to their body due to the due process clause of the 14th Amendment. And it's a right to privacy. So they have the right to choose whether or not to have an abortion and what that means. So this was in 1973.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it wasn't – because the 14th Amendment is the one I've always heard of. I'm reading this summary real quick. And it's saying that it's actually protected under the 1st, the 4th, the 5th, the 9th, and the 14th Amendment.
But it has to do with a right – to privacy and kind of access to one's own body to mm-hmm. an extent. And so the only other major time that we see this brought up in the Supreme Court is Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 1992. So this in 1992 crafted the undue burden standard. It's kind of confusing and we're not legal experts, but it basically says that no state can pass something that is extremely burdensome or restrictive to one's fundamental rights. I think there was also a couple other things in Pennsylvania law that it kind of upheld.
It removed things. I guess Roe v. Wade had a farther trimester, not restrictions, but like you had – to wait, or like they couldn't, states couldn't make laws early in people's pregnancies, but then this case in the 90s overturned that. And so that's when we start to see some of those first trimester laws come in states. But I also think that's what we're seeing, some of the ridiculous laws in Texas and Mississippi that are really, really, and Arkansas, I think, has tried to put some up. I think it's people trying to get those cases to the Supreme Court. Like, I'm not a lawyer and I can read that and say that's probably breaking the undue burden standard.
Well, it's so also important to note, and the trimester thing that Marcia's talking about, it also, I believe the Casey, look, we're not legal experts, but the Casey versus Planned Parenthood is the one that brought into the viability analysis, which has kind of made the rule that after like 20 to around 24, when a fetus is considered like viable to live on its own, is when abortions can't really happen. The Casey versus Planned Parenthood, I'm pretty sure, is the one that kind of enacted that. But when we're talking about this too, it's important to note that Mississippi passed this law, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago now. They also passed one a year after this one that bans them after 6 weeks. And so that one's not even in the Supreme Court, right, or the one that's being appealed in any capacity. But if they get through with what they're trying to do with Roe v. Wade and have that overturned, then that means they would be able to go back and reinforce a 6-week one. And the governor on December 5th, the governor of Mississippi already came out today and said, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, like there will basically be an abortion ban in Mississippi.
This is our episode's called Pro-Life, because when I'm reading this, none of this seems like it's pro-life to me.
No.
What? There's literally no one's arguing for resources after babies are born, or talking about the foster care system, or talking about the adoption methods in America and how expensive it is, and how many people even look outside of America to, which all babies deserve homes, but many people look outside of our own made up borders to find kids. It just, no one's talking about any of these things. They're talking about what a uterus can do, and that people who have uteruses, that that's like their duty on this planet, is to produce babies for the world. It just is fascinating because to me, when you say that you're pro-life, I would expect you, okay, cool, you want to argue about conception. That's a philosophical debate that's been going on for a really long time. Argue about conception and when life begins and all of those fun things. But what's happening after that? I see no conversation about what's happening after that to support people. And I'm not saying – and I also – what her – Lynn, whatever, Fitch, her saying, I worked hard and had a color-coded calendar. Brett Kavanaugh much? Anyways, but her saying that – her saying that is not – that's not explaining to me what resources and access someone's going to have, or what that means for minimum wage standards or – inflated housing prices. There's people – we're in the Midwest, and we have a good size – Alex and I have a good size place, and we have a garage. We made sure we got a garage because there's winters here. And it's decent. Like, we're not paying like an exorbitant amount, but it's more than we've paid in the past in other places. I know people paying double to triple what I'm paying for studio apartments, and we have a two-bedroom, two-bathroom place with a garage. Like – What are we doing about the housing?
Well, and there has been some arguments when it was – because I believe right now on December 5th, it's in kind of like private discussions among the justices when they were having the open discussions and like the live testimonies. Again, not a legal expert. People were talking about how abortion is the solution – or abortion is the solution to abortion. Adoption is the solution to abortion. This is – I will scream this from the rooftops. I do not want to hear the conversation of abortion come up unless the adoption system is empty because there are no children in need of homes. There is not a single homeless person, houseless person in the U.S. There's not a single hungry person in the U.S.
There's not infrastructure to stop houseless people from sleeping places.
Like, I don't want to hear a single conversation of abortion and the importance of life come up until all of these other things are solved, because you dealing with the people who are walking this planet shows me that you care about life more than trying to regulate what someone is doing with a uterus.
Mm-hmm.
People get embryos frozen. I don't hear pro-life people – there are some pro-life people screaming about that. But people get them frozen and sometimes never use them.
Well, I'm also curious. I've seen the argument that was like – so if something is – if life begins at like that conception point, like even some people are even against like the – Plan B. Some people are even against that. So if life begins at that conception point.
Plan B is not even conception.
Not even like an abortive pill. Yeah, I know. But if life – we talked about that in a different episode. I think in our one titled abort – do we have one titled abortion? Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, okay? Please don't judge me. Anyways, if life begins at that conception – that immediate fertilization conception point, when you're talking about like the potential of freezing embryos and eggs and these things – this is the philosophical debate. It's like the would you pull the train to hit one person that you can see, or to, like to avoid the group of like 10 people on the other side of the tracks. If there's like a building burning down, like the clinic burning down that has all of those embryos in it that are frozen or being prepared for somebody, if it's like 10, there was 10 people coming in to help get babies put in them. Would you save those 10 embryos, or would you save the one child in the building if there was a child alive, like a 3-year-old?
You already know what some people would answer that question.
I know that stuff costs a lot of money. I guarantee you the majority of people would say they would try to save the 3-year-old. But it still depends on the person. It just, that's a fascinating philosophical debate in my opinion, because it comes back to the what is life conversation.
My initial question to anyone who is holding pro-life signs and these fake mutilated babies outside of clinics and outside of the Supreme Court right now.
Anyone who's not aware, those pictures aren't real.
No.
That they use. That's not even what – that's not the stages of development.
And most of the pro-life politicians have gotten a multitude of vaccines and medications off of stem cell research that comes from these clinics. So anyways – my question to anyone who's screaming from the rooftops of stuff is, I want to look them and say, have you adopted? What are you doing to help houseless people? Whenever you ask people those questions, they never have the answers.
Do you participate in the foster system?
Do you participate in the foster system? What are you doing to stop the death penalty? Whenever you ask these questions, people don't have answers because they're not pro-life. Mm-hmm. They are pro-controlling uteruses. Those are two different things.
Two very different things. Even we see, for an example, Alex has a lovely clip that I think we should play. But even the way that politicians talk about it so openly, discuss the fact that it's not about helping people. It's literally about power and control. We're just gonna let you listen because this is a hard one for us to summarize. If any of you know Madison Cawthorn, I think that's how you say his name, you already know what's about to happen.
Madam Speaker, a silent genocide has slipped beneath the conscience of America.
That's not a definition of genocide.
Formed and set apart, meet death before they breathe life.
Oh, so they're not alive yet.
Eternal souls woven into earthen vessels, sanctified by Almighty God and endowed with the miracle of life, are denied their
birth. Oh, so we're bringing God into
freedom.
Politics.
God's breath of life blown away by the breath of man. This cruel and fallen world may seem too filthy for their very presence. But these precious temples are crafted in the image of God himself. One day, perhaps when science darkens the soul of the left, our nation will repent. But until then, the carnage of this unconscionable deed will stain the fabric of our nation. I hope that the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. I hope that we stop the genocide of abortion in this country. With that, I yield back.
Okay, that's not it. The definition of genocide, I think this might have been mentioned, or it's like one of my fun facts. It literally was developed during during World War II with Nazis and what they were doing.
And targeting specific groups.
So that's like not what the word genocide means. And on top of that, I just realized that that's like the third time I've heard that clip. Is he allowed to sit on a federal, like, is he a federal person? He's federal, right?
He's a Congress member.
Yeah, he's allowed to sit in a federal institution and say, God did this for us. Have we heard of separation of church and state like every other first grader has in this country?
No Republican has ever heard of separation of church versus state. So I want to emphasize, too, that this person speaking does not have a uterus. So in my opinion, should not be able to speak on this subject in any capacity.
Also, on top of that, when you're talking about the sorrows of medicine, the darkening days of science or whatever he said, most of us are alive because of modern medicine. Me, girly poo, Marissa, I came out with my umbilical cord wrapped around my neck in purple. And butt first, if any of you know anything about birth, that's not a good thing. I'm alive because of modern medicine.
Wait, this might be a low blow. He's shitting on science. This is a young man who got into a severe car accident and is alive because of modern medicine.
Like,
and also, I want to emphasize that anyone who has a uterus, you should know that on the U.S. House floor, he publicly referred to people, and this is from someone's tweet, and we'll link the person's tweet because she has a whole thread up about it, publicly referred to people with uteruses as earthen vessels sanctified by Almighty God. We are not humans. We are not worthy people to exist on this planet. We are vessels to produce more vessels.
I want to throw Alex's phone in the middle of the street right now. But she doesn't deserve punishment for what he's saying. So I won't do that.
There's not answers to this right now. They're saying they're predicting there's not going to be a result to this case until maybe the summertime. But I do want to highlight that one of the people who might be the determining person in this case is Brett Kavanaugh.
Who is – if we all remember, when he was getting interviewed / they kind of like tried – they put them on trial almost to be on the Supreme Court – it came out that there was sexual assault stuff in his past, and he's like pretty partisan in his decision making. And his defense as the supreme law of the land was that he had calendars from 40 years ago and he loves his dad, so he couldn't have ever done anything wrong. So that is who that's what's happening.
So he's one of the people because the court is about 6-2 on and the six is being conservative. And it's important to note, doing all this research, all of these like political analysts are saying that the judges that we're seeing aren't just conservative. These are some of the most conservative judges that have ever been on the court in history.
Well, I would say that's what's scary about this too. This isn't – so the decision they're going to make is – it's terrifying to see what will happen, because the minute you open those floodgates, what's going to happen to plan B? What's going to happen to birth control? What's going to happen to access to condoms or any sort of like healthy sex things or STDs or any of that? What's going to happen to all those things that are related to sex? Like, I saw a TikTok video because, you know, I get my information from media now. And the girl was talking about, she's like, the way these laws are worded and the way people are responding to them, she's like, you're literally trying to criminalize anyone with a uterus engaging in sexual activity, period. Like, she's like, the way that it's worded, you could go to jail if you have a uterus and you have sex. But this is also – so that's scary, one. And the other thing that's terrifying is there's issues with our judicial system. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us would deny that. I think anyone that pays attention knows that humans are flawed and we have not figured out a way to deal with justice in this country in an appropriate and effective way. But this has gone through since the 70s, gone through – there's been a couple other cases like Alex was saying.
The 92 one is the only other major one.
They've tried to challenge it before, whether it's on a local level or at this is the second one that has gotten to the Supreme Court. There's been other judges that have already like said Roe v. Wade is the precedent. They're trying to deny every other judge in the country and other Supreme Court judge that has already like confirmed that Roe v. Wade is a part of our rights in this country. They're denying that. They're also going to radically influence what it means to be a Supreme Court judge and make such a partisan decision. We heard these arguments. These aren't arguments. These arguments are very religious based. These arguments, the lady who's bringing it, literally her dad paid for her first campaign and she grew up in a wealthy area. I guarantee you, she worked hard. The majority of mothers in the world work very hard to raise children. But that is not, she has different means than most people have. Like, we are not making an argument. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm stressed.
Okay, off of what Marissa was just saying, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, when she was talking about all of this and she was making her argument, kind of talked about what Marissa was just saying. She said that this law has been on the book for nearly 50 years and has been repeatedly reaffirmed. She suggested that if the courts were – sorry, I stuttered – were to overturn the decision now, despite the fact that 15 justices over 50 years have reaffirmed this decision, it was suggest that the change was solely due to the new composition of the court. And we know that the Supreme Court is not here to define things from their own moral compass. Their goal is to look at what's been said and look at what might be said and make decisions based on how they apply to law, not their own personal beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know what I say? If they screw us all over and they pass this, pack the fucking court.
Oh my gosh. I was hoping that when Biden got in that he'd
be like, here's 10 more people.
He would throw more justices in. Like, he would do something like, I was hoping something like that would happen, but no, we have to play Joe nice. Biden. Ugh. I was just arguing.
Joe Biden's like super Catholic, and he was like, "No, we need to like keep Roe v. Wade going
because it's been a thing since 1973."
It's just kind of like mind your business.
So this ties us into the other thing that we were thinking that like
mandatory vasectomies.
Yes, this ties us in. Oh, and I want to post this. We'll post this TikTok in the thing too before I jump on to the next subject. There was a woman arguing with somebody on TikTok.
Oh, I just brought her up.
Yeah. She was just talking about how people are making all these arguments and there's no repercussions for the people who are
providing the sperm.
So mainly men, right? There's no arguments being made for the people about what repercussions they face, what responsibilities they face. And also, if we're calling something life at conception, I know Marissa brought this up, like, that means someone should start getting child support at that point. That means that someone, if they die, they could put life insurance on that. Things like that. That means if someone miscarries. And I can say for in Mississippi, and we would see in other states too, they're talking about arresting people and removing their medical licenses if they are to
break these laws. Doctors saying that COVID is fake, nurses giving people fake shots. And then we're going to say, oh, but if you do something that's like been medically sound for 50 years –
Which that's a good segue, because we talk about pro-life and we talk about the importance of life, and we have seen for the past 2 fucking years conservatives saying my body, my choice in regards to wearing masks. And seen a complete lack of care for the fact that 750,000 people are dead right now because of COVID. And I say that so angrily because these are deaths that could have 100% been avoided.
We are having to put – so federal mandate, anyone over – any business with over 100 people, they have to like verify your vaccination status. And you have the option to say you're not vaccinated. I know some smaller businesses, there's repercussions at larger companies – that I don't think you will see the same repercussions if you aren't vaccinated. So we've been doing it at work, and I've been explaining people how to do it. I was like, oh, if you have your vaccine card, it's easier if you just do it on your phone because you can take a picture and upload it directly from your phone. You know how many people have looked at me and said, oh, but I'm not vaccinated. And then they want to say they prefer not to answer the question when that's an option. No, you made that choice. You fucking deal with the consequences. Are you kidding me? Also, in the past about month, we've had, I think, at least 7 cases of COVID where I work, and that's just the people who've not come to work sick. So we're making this connection, and we just had that little COVID break and kind of bridging the gap to when we're talking about and seeing this argument about pro-life and Roe v. Wade is so bad. Roe v. Wade is not bad. But we're seeing this argument being made. The importance of life seems to cease to exist as soon as people are walking on the planet. Then it seems like it doesn't matter what happens to life. Mm-hmm. So we bring this up to say on November 30th at Oxford High School, there was a school shooting. A 15-year-old showed up to school. I'm not sure like the method that before what happened before, but he opened fire on his classmates and he killed 3 people and injured, I think it was 8. Yeah. And so in this case, we know that also just recently we have Kyle Rittenhouse, who got acquitted on all charges after killing 2 people and injuring and I believe paralyzing 1 on video footage after crossing state borders and having a weapon strapped to his chest. So we know that he just got acquitted. We see this school shooting. With this school shooting, the shooter and his parents have been arrested because the parents supplied the weapon. But there was all of these signs before. The morning of the shooting, they found drawings of pictures of bullets and bloody stuff saying, like, help me. I can't get the thoughts to stop. He posted pictures of the gun on his Instagram and was like, look at my new weapon.
And a couple days prior, he had been looking up bullets on his phone and they contacted his parents and his mom texted him and just said, LOL, I'm not mad at you. Just don't get caught next time. We see this thing happening where life is being taken in front of our eyes,
mm-hmm.
and it's not being talked about. Mm-hmm. There are a couple Texas groups, gun groups.
Yeah, that's the first one that popped up that are actually against the abortion laws that are being passed, but they're not against them for like individual freedoms down with big government. They're against them because they're fearful that liberal states will try to take away their guns if they allow – if conservative states take away the right to your body.
Because they
know – that's an equivalent exchange.
That guns in this country have harmed tens of thousands of people this year alone. They know that guns are continuing to harm people.
So this is from Al Jazeera. They're quoting the Gun Violence Archive. So a mass shooting, when we're talking about what a mass shooting is – it's any incident that 4 or more people are shot or killed, and that doesn't include the active shooter involved. Last year, in 2020, there was 611 mass shootings reported. And if we look at some of the gun violence data from the actual Gun Violence Archive recorded this year, there's already been a total of 41,555 gun violence deaths from all causes. So that includes like accidents, suicide, everything. But if we go down to mass murders and mass shootings, there's been over 600 mass shootings this year already.
And then out of those, with some of these stats, from the ages of 0 to 17, there's been almost 1,500 people that have been killed. Mm-hmm. And then if we add injured, it's about 3,500. So we're talking about the importance of – because like Roe v. Wade is about children, right? Like we want to protect the children, but they don't want to protect trans children. Don't forget that.
Oh, that's a whole other conversation. That's a whole other conversation.
But we have this thing.
We love you and I'm sorry.
These things blaring right in front of us where we're seeing happening in the same week, Roe v. Wade being brought to the Supreme Court and another mass shooting at a school. And yet Roe v. Wade is being talked about protecting life and the sanctity of the living being while these school shootings keep happening and nothing is being done.
None of these people have even come out and like condemned gun violence. And on top of that, we also need to talk about like we categorize gun violence as like poverty-stricken areas and, like, a very specific type of person that just, like, is violent and they probably have a right – all these, like, ridiculous stereotypes that it's – when it's usually typically, like, a young white guy or a middle-aged white guy.
Has to do with power.
I just want to say, so we grew up in Michigan for a little bit and then moved to Arkansas and we're out in other places now. We were in the suburbs of Detroit. We were in, like, a middle-class suburban area. The high school where the shooting happened was 45 minutes from the schools we went to. My mom was talking to us the other day and said the school district that we spent half our life in was shut down after the shooting because they were getting threats and the schools were scared. There was going to be another shooting at the surrounding schools. Like, there was a tweet and someone quoted one of the things about the shooter and said, we're putting metal detectors in the wrong schools.
We have ways that we can actually protect life and things that we can do to actually support people from mm-hmm. doing something about guns to doing something about houseless people to doing something about access to healthcare. And we choose to ignore all of those and to attempt to just control a uterus. And like, I don't even want to get into the conversation because I'm not well versed in it about the foster system. But like, if fostering is the solution and putting people into the adoption system is the solution, do we know how many people go through trauma in those systems and how many people experience violence in those systems?
This country, we say it's built on freedom. This country is built on trauma.
Yeah.
You all realize – we won't post it, but if you look up the vigil for the shooting that happened in Michigan, someone passed out and people thought that there was an emergency happening. I'm assuming people might have thought there was another shooter. People – freaked out and scattered, and it's horrifying to watch. This country is founded on trauma. That's what this country is founded on.
Yeah.
Violence and trauma and power, like, depending on who and what lineage.
And so we have regular citizens that are struggling day to day from gun violence to COVID deaths to being able to feed themselves. And we're just trying to find ways to survive while we have people in power and political positions who are literally playing fucking chess with our lives and mm-hmm. and using us like we're pawns in their little games for power and control. Because
you know what? They'll do whatever they need to do to help themselves or their family.
Yeah.
They'll do what they need to
do. I mean, there's a school shooting. And just a month or so ago, there was a shooting at a grocery store in Colorado that we barely even heard about.
I mean, there were shootings at the malls in the area that Alex and I live that they mentioned like once and then they just move on. Like,
well, I was just going to say – there is a Congress member named Thomas Mazie, Representative Thomas Mazie, who posted one of his family Christmas photos like a day or two after the school shooting happened. His entire family has guns and semi-automatics in their hands. That was his Christmas picture because it's funny to these people who are in charge and aren't being threatened every day by this stuff. It's
also
funny.
If we're talking about the judicial system, so the kids in custody, I think they might have finally got a hold of the parents. The parents are being tried for involuntary manslaughter. For getting their son that weapon. And so it's interesting to see how that would play out versus how there being footage of someone showing up and pretending that they're a police officer and shooting people.
Not the police officer should be shooting people.
No.
Which I know this connection, this argument might feel kind of like weird to be listening to, but these things are directly correlated. We're seeing people who are screaming from the rooftops pro-life, and we have all of these ways right in front of us to protect life and to support people, and they're being ignored at the attempt to just control a uterus. That's it. So I will say this until I am blue in the face. I will start yelling at people's faces. I do not want to hear the conversation of abortion or pro-life unless there is not a single houseless person. There's no hungry people. There's no more gun violence. Everyone has access to healthcare and education. I don't want to hear the conversation. I don't even want to hear a fucking whisper from pro-lifers.
Not a whisper.
If there's even a single child in the foster system.
A single child being abused.
A single child being abused in the U.S.
A single child that can't get food.
Like, all of these things are right in front of us, and yet they're hyper-focusing on this, and we know why they're focusing on it.
So right now, Alex and I are going to – we're going to do a little skit for you all. Alex, I want you to be a pro-life
okay.
person that supports what's happening in the government.
Okay.
I'm going to be a pro-life person that's a real pro-life person.
Okay.
Hey.
Baby.
Oh, are you pro-life?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy. I'm pro-life, too.
Oh, so you believe that Roe v. Wade should be overturned?
That's wild. No, I don't.
You just told me you were pro-life.
Yeah, but you're not pro-life.
I am pro-life. I believe that a baby starts at conception as soon as the penis and vagina interact.
Okay, that's really cute. babe, do you believe in access to healthcare?
That's a different conversation.
No, you're not pro-life. Babe, do you believe in ending the death penalty?
That's a different
– Babe, you're not pro-life.
That's not – I know what you're trying to do.
Babe, right you're now. Not pro-life. Do you
– Keep going. We're acting for them.
Do you believe in helping support the foster care system and public services in America?
Oh, no, 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 no. I only
Babe, you're not pro-life. Shh. You're not pro-life.
No, but uteruses.
Babe, you're not pro-life. But you do – you believe in putting restrictions on uteruses.
Yes, exactly. You understand.
Oh, so you're not pro-life. You're just about power and control and turning people into objects.
No, I don't believe in power and control. I believe in life.
No, you don't. I'm pro-life. You're not.
The end.
The end.
No, but in all actuality,
we're crying on the inside.
Have that if you stay calm and have that conversation with people and say, "Oh, so like you foster children. Oh, so you're actively helping people get out of houselessness."
Which some of these people, there might be a handful of these people that are doing all of this. They just like are a little bit confused.
I do
about
have to say,
bodily autonomy.
I have not seen a single protester outside of a clinic that performs abortions. When they've been asked, like, do you foster children? Have you ever adopted a child? Do you believe in the death – or, like, are you against the death? I don't think I've ever seen a single person answer all of those questions.
I also think some of them are paid. So at that point, like, is it really, like, what you believe in, or is it just, like, your job, you know? Because I went to Planned Parenthood just to get, like, a checkup because I can't get into a gynecologist anywhere because doctor's appointments, you have to schedule a year in advance apparently. And I was just getting my like my birth control refilled and just getting like a you don't have cervical cancer, you're okay. And there's protesters out there, but it was like Monday at 9 a.m. And I was like, how are you not at work? And then Alex went on like a Saturday or something. Like mm-hmm. She went on the weekend. No one was there.
It was empty.
Empty. I think they're getting weekday hours and they're getting paid to do it. That's just a conspiracy theory I came up with. Is it really your opinion? I don't think so.
So a lot was said in this. And again, like we're not experts. We're just people who have read information and have our opinions. And we want to share some of these thoughts with people. And so I guess what we really want to take away is pro-lifers aren't pro-life. They're anti-choice. Mm-hmm. And they are pro-power and control of uteruses.
Also, it's kind of like, where do we go from here?
I was like about to try and come up with action steps, and I'm just thinking about like we have all of these examples of ways that we can protect life and protect people, mm-hmm. and people are actively choosing to support something that promotes more violence.
I mean, look up local organizations and places doing this work in your community, yeah. and see how you can support them, whether that's monetarily, whether that's
showing up,
whether that's giving like labor to them in some way if you can.
Even reposting.
If you're able, yeah, even like a repost can help in times like this sometimes, occasionally. Just a way to kind of support what's happening.
We also recognize that you'll see on Twitter and the internet people being like, donate to local places, not Planned Parenthood or the big orgs.
There's a lot of places that Planned Parenthood is what's there for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, there's so many places, especially when we're talking about access to abortion, that Planned Parenthood is the only place. So if you don't have a place around you or in anywhere in your vicinity, it's okay to give to some of these organizations mm-hmm. that, like, people online are trying to, like, shit on.
Planned Parenthood's doing better work than Save the Family or whatever that organization's called.
Yeah, so what Marcia just said was brilliant. And we also just want to say, take a second to take breaks from the news, because I know, like, I was doom scrolling, and it can be really overwhelming to read all of this and kind of be like, we have no power and control in this situation. When in actuality, like things will be from the ground up. So the more that we can collectivize together and work together, people in charge don't want us to work together because they know that if we work together, they can't control us anymore. So the more that we can talk to other people and come to common grounds and work together, the more that we'll make a better space for us and for people to come after us, and we can start challenging all these bigger systems. And I want to note that we didn't even get into the fact that global warming is a thing and it's killing people and it's not being talked about.
We didn't even really talk about the death penalty.
No.
Like – but if you all also want to a way to kind of detach with also while also still like being on topic, if that makes sense, like you don't want to feel like you're just forgetting everything happening in the world. I watched this movie a couple years ago. It's called Obvious Child. It's a comedy romance type movie, but they talk about unplanned pregnancies and abortions, and the main character is a comedian, and you kind of go through that journey with her. I think it was a really good movie, so I would check it out if you want to kind of stay on topic but not be on topic, if that – yeah.
Or just watch Selling Sunset, and then we can chat about it. This is wrapping up this episode of Dirty Words. Thank you for listening.
Remember being pro-life. means that you support justice and equality and access to care and your body and just support a better future. Not supporting control over other people's bodies.
That's anti-choice. Okay, goodbye, lovelies.
Bye, lovelies. See you next week, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Ciao, ciao.